back. Second hour, Incendiary Radio coming your way. If you can support the network, please do so. If you're financially, your picture is feasible, help keep the network on the air. Sam down there has got to get paid, you know, all that sort of thing. So if you got loot, give a little bit to RBN, keep the network going. So let's change gears a little bit and kind of move to China and kind of like some optics here. So for those of you that are not MMA fans, the UFC was down in Sydney, Australia. Okay, so you had a big fight. The middleweight champion, Israel Adesanya, versus an American crazy guy named Sean Strickland, okay, for the title. And so, Mr. Producer, we're gonna have clip 6 and 7 ready in that order. Now, Sean Strickland, for those of you who don't pay attention to UFC, first of all, let me say this, and I think I mentioned this, but the UFC and the WWE now are both owned by the same parent corporation, and it's Ari Emanuel, who's the head of, I think it's Endeavor Entertainment or some crap. So now you got fake pro wrestling and the UFC kind of together. So a lot of people looked at this merger and said, is the UFC... And a lot of people thought that the UFC could be rigged due to the judges, just blatant screw-ups over the years, and, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm not going to get into that area. But Sean Strickland's a white guy, and he's came from kind of a troubled background and so forth and so on. He runs his mouth crazy. No filter type dude, and he cusses a lot, but he really talks smack, kind of like white guys in the 80s. If you remember back, we're like white guys in the 80s, very outspoken, very obtuse, very in your face about kind of American philosophy and all that stuff. Well, Sean Strickland's kind of like a throwback. He's kind of like a guy from the 80s before political correctness, kind of the blanket got thrown on our society. And so he fought Israel Adesanya. Now, Adesanya is a black guy. He's from his parents were from Nigeria. They moved the family to New Zealand, and he grew up there in New Zealand. And so Adesanya, for some reason, has a love affair with Chinese, okay? And he's got a big old dragon tattooed on him and all this stuff. And, you know, and basically Sean Strickland had really just called him out for quite a while about it. Okay, and Adesanya is quirky, and he's weird, and he paints his fingernails, and he's got this whole scandal about him doing kind of strange things with his dog. I mean, it's a real weird scenario. But anyway, Sean Strickland, you know, he's known for being a real clown at these press conferences before fights. And so, Mr. Producer, play clip 6.
It must be talked about. You guys did throw a pregnant woman in jail over a Facebook post during COVID. That must be talked about. Shame on you guys. How do you feel about that? Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Which woman was this?
It was all over the news, man. How do you not know that?
A pregnant woman has been charged with incitement after police raided her Ballarat home. The 28-year-old live-streamed her arrest on Facebook after allegedly encouraging friends to attend a lockdown protest.
Here's the thing, Australia. I would like you guys so much better if you had a freedom of speech. So if you could go ahead and make a freedom of speech like the greatest country in the world, we would get along better. I mean, how is that not standard with you guys? How do you not have a freedom of speech? You have a government could say, if you say something we don't like, we will throw you in prison. Like, how the fuck do you rationalize that?
Are you confusing us with Russia or something?
No, I'm saying that there is a pregnant woman who was thrown in jail during COVID. I mean, who else? Do you guys remember that? Anybody else remember that? He fucking remembers that shit.
You're under arrest in relation to incitement.
Incitement?
What's that?
What on earth? Excuse me, what on earth?
Just put your phone down.
Can you, like,
record this? I'm in my pajamas.
What's this?
I have an ultrasound in an hour.
Yeah, she's pregnant, so...
Well, I'll take it easy.
What's this about?
If I have an ultrasound just let me finish. In an hour.
Let me finish and I'll explain. It's in relation to a Facebook post, in relation to a lockdown protest you put on for Saturday.
Yeah, and I wasn't breaking any laws by doing that.
You are, actually. You are breaking the law. That's why I'm arresting you. In relation to...
How can you arrest her?
That's... In front of my two children.
She urged people to attend an anti-lockdown protest in Ballarat this weekend.
I'm happy to delete the post. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. She could face a jail sentence of up to 15 years.
So, and again, I love Australia and I love the Australian people. But, you guys have done some fuckery, and so has America. But I think the moment Australia gets freedom of speech, I'll like it more.
All right, so you can stop that there. And he went on and he just ripped them for their COVID baloney and everything. And so... you can watch these whole press conferences with Strickland. So he talks smack on anything and anybody. Now, the second part is this after he won. And this is clip 7. Now, the original, what I find funny is YouTube has now age restricted the full post-fight press conference. And by the way, Sean Strickland's wearing around a Crocodile Dundee hat while he's down there. I mean, he's a clown. But so when he really rips on the Communist Party and all this, now it's age restricted by YouTube. I'm sure it'll be out on BitChute and Rumble and other places to where it won't be. But UFC's official channel now, because I watched it this morning. I just wanted to see who won, and I was like, holy crap, Strickland beat Adesanya, which he was like a severe underdog, probably the worst underdog in the history of the UFC to win a title. And so anyway, but let's listen to clip 7.
You know what? Like, here's the thing. Izzy made it f***ing easy. Izzy, all you had to do was say, hey, you know, I'm an immigrant to New Zealand. I spent most of my life in New Zealand and Australia. I love you guys. You brought me up. You gave me opportunity. It's all Izzy had to do. And everybody would have been like, f*** you, Sean Strickland, you dirty American. But Izzy didn't do that. Izzy doubled down and said, I am Chinese. I am the Chinese champion. Like, motherfucker, no. I represent all you guys, man.
Do you think the crowd made a difference for you tonight?
Oh, the crowd was awesome, man. Even, like, in the fourth round, they started booing at Izzy and cheering me on. They were f***ing awesome.
Well, in your 20th UFC showing, you became the middleweight champion. When you think back to your UFC debut...
All right, go ahead, stop.
Do you think...
So basically, if you watch the full press conference, you'll see he's like, F that guy. He's sitting there talking, China, and he's like, the Chinese Communist Party, are you kidding? You know, he just rips the Chinese Communist Party, and he's sitting down there in Australia. Pretty funny stuff, but it goes into the larger kind of op right now with entertainment and geopolitics. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but and this is out of the Taipei Times from September 4th. Troops joined Michigan drills. The exercises were led by the U.S. National Guard instead of the U.S. Armed Forces so as not to provoke China. Taiwanese troops last month attended military exercises led by the National Guard in Michigan. The Sankai Shimbun reported on Saturday more than 7,000 soldiers from several countries participated in the exercises, which were held from August 5th to August 19th, the Japanese Daily reported. Following the joint exercises last summer, Taiwan and the U.S. have continued to deepen military exchanges and enhance interoperability, it said. It is unclear how many Taiwanese troops attended the exercise, but the scale was larger than previous training with the U.S. Taiwan could also send more troops to attend similar training, it added. U.S. President Joe Biden's administration in February said that Chinese President Xi Jinping has instructed his nation's military to be ready by 2027 to invade Taiwan. To prevent Xi from taking over Taiwan by force, the U.S. continues to expand support to bolster Taiwan's self-defense capabilities. So what's interesting is, like, kind of the angle, you have this angle out here that, okay, the Bidens are completely controlled by the Chinese and so forth and so on. Okay. You know, we had all this stuff with interactions with Hunter and diamonds and all this strange stuff. But at the same time, the military seems to be almost acting on its own as far as geopolitics to some extent. You know, you got Blinken, the Secretary of State, and all these characters, all these Jewish guys surrounding Biden. So it seems like there's some sort of, because some people say that Biden's not in charge, Trump is the commander in chief, and the military is doing its own thing and not listening to Biden. You know, same thing with stuff in Ukraine. Now, Jake Tapper accuses Elon Musk of sabotage, calls for repercussions for the capricious billionaire over not allowing Ukraine to use Starlink to attack the Russian fleet. Okay? So he's asking Anthony Blinken whether Musk should face some sort of repercussions for refusing Ukraine's request last year to use Musk's Starlink satellite internet system to attack the Russian fleet in Crimea. So Tapper accuses him of sabotage. So this is kind of interesting, and this kind of, you know, segues into that fact what we've been talking about of Musk's relationship to the military. And so just as the military seems to be kind of having its own geopolitical, paradigm with China, it also is like, look, do you think Musk would have just made that decision on his own? I mean, this is the thing. You know, you got SpaceX, which is kind of like NASA, but privatized some. And then you've got this Starlink thing with these military applications. And everybody, thinks that, a lot of people out here think that Musk is just a front for the government, and he's this figure, but the way he's all over the place with everything, it's just mind blowing with this dust up with the ADL now, but this thing with Starlink, it's a trip trying to kind of war game this out now. So Elon Musk threatens to sue the Anti-Defamation League. We've all seen this was floating around. And he's threatening to sue them for roughly $22 billion. 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Kind of interesting. Claiming the Jewish organization caused a 60% drop in advertising sales by scaring off advertisers with claims that Musk and the platform were anti-Semitic. Controversy has brought forth hordes of critics who claim that the organization has abandoned its mandate to fight Jew hatred in order to become a platform for the Democratic Party and liberal agendas. To clear our platform's name on the matter of anti-Semitism, it looks like we have no choice but to file a defamation lawsuit against the Anti-Defamation League. Oh, the irony. Based on what we've heard from advertisers, ADL seems to be responsible for most of our revenue loss. Okay, so it's kind of interesting. And then you've got some of these Jewish guys, and especially some of these like rabbi, like this guy named Wolicki, head of the Center for Jewish Christian Understanding Cooperation, published an op-ed on the issue, noting that ever since Greenblatt assumed the issue of the leadership of the ADL, he has turned the organization into a partisan organ devoted to crushing political conservatives and promoting the most left-wing and progressive causes. We should note that the ADL's role in online censorship of speech is nothing new. None of this would be concerning if it were true that the ADL was devoted to monitoring and combating actual anti-Semitism, blah, 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 blah. Rabbi Wolicki noted that this was most distressing to Orthodox Jews who are predominantly politically and socially conservative, whether we are talking about gender trans issue, BLM, freedom of speech, or even support for the Israeli government. Orthodox Jews are far more aligned with conservative Christians on the right than we are with liberal Jews. Blah, 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 blah. And so then he wrote this thing called The ADL is a Jewish Problem. And you can read this all, Rabbi Wolicki. Now, whether you think this is a real dust up among Jews or whether this was just them playing the dialectic, that's up to you to decide. Putin, Western curators put a Jew in charge to hide Ukraine's Nazism. So this is what Putin's saying. In an interview on Tuesday, Vladimir Putin stated the Western powers had installed a Jewish president in Ukraine in order to deflect accusations that the country collaborated with the Nazis in World War II. Western curators have put a person at the head of the modern Ukraine, an ethnic Jew with Jewish roots, with Jewish origins, and thus, in my opinion, they seem to be covering up an anti-human essence that is the foundation of the modern Ukrainian state. And this makes the whole situation extremely disgusting in that an ethnic Jew is covering up the glorification of Nazism and covering up those who led the Holocaust in Ukraine at one time. And this is the extermination of 1.5 million people. Now, see how Putin is playing some semantic games here? Now, did the Nazis carry out the Holodomor, or was that the Soviets? You know, the Stalinites. Okay? Kind of fascinating here. Now, This is what's fascinating is you're watching Putin do this, and it's like, okay, Putin, so World War II, you lost a lot of people. The Soviet Union did. But the Soviet Union was a bunch of communist butchers aligned with the West in this fight against the Axis powers. So all the people that you put in the gulags, all the people that were Solzhenitsyn talked about, somehow you're thinking that your country in World War II was the good guys? I mean, think about where we are as the West right now. We've got basically a white genocide going on. This massive migrations of non-whites into all historically majority white countries. Collapsing infrastructure in these countries, collapsing of law and order. And now you still want to act like the good guys won World War II? You know, and I hear people on this network trashing Hitler and the Nazis all the time. I mean, it's mind-blowing. You know, it's like we've got like this kind of orthodox conservatar Zio conservatar people that still want to view World War II in its history books version. And it's like the network will take a lot of steps forward. People start getting getting hit to a lot of different viewpoints and so forth. And then hosts leave, new blood comes in, and the new blood, it's something right out of Breitbart or something of this nature. And then all of us that have been here for a while, we're just like, dude, we collectively had to push back on that stuff 10 years ago. You know, I've been on the air 9, and, you know, it ebbs and flows. Let's take Chance in West Virginia. Chance, breaking into the program. What's up, man?
Yeah, hello, Robert. Can you hear me?
What's up? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I have relatives over in Hungary and Germany. And like you said, their account of Hitler is much different than what people here think about it, really, now. You know, you're right there. When people trash that particular aspect of history, I have to wonder myself, because I hear firsthand accounts, okay? Now, the reason why I called you, Robert, is this. I listened to Hal Turner. You heard of Hal Turner, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay. A couple of days ago, I listened to him on shortwave. A couple of days ago, he mentioned that there's NATO ships in Ukrainian waters right now as we speak. And I want your opinion. Tomorrow is so-called Patriot Day, correct?
I believe so, sure.
All right, so I'm wondering now, are they going to pull like a fake Gulf of Tonkin incident and say that Russia hit a NATO ship to provoke this war? I don't know. What do you think?
Look, anytime we're at one of these points on the calendar, there is the possibility of somebody pulling another operation, you know. So whether it's going to go down or not, you know, I don't know.
Well, I don't neither, but I'm thinking about how they use numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I covered earlier, 9/11, 2023 adds up to 18 and all that stuff. John F. Kennedy, remember when he was 28, predicted Hitler will emerge from that hatred that surrounds him now as one of the most significant figures who ever lived. Mm-hmm. He had in him which the stuff of legends are made. That was probably one
of
the ones that got.
You know what? I heard the same thing. I heard the same thing from relatives of mine.
Yeah.
I heard the same thing. Now, the crap we're being fed here in this country is total opposite. I wish some people from Eastern Europe would call in and give their opinions on this, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's heard this.
Well, yes, you know, those people that were under communism for all that time, they have a different viewpoint because they realized the system they were under, run by all those Judeo-Bolsheviks. And a lot of people forget that Germany almost fell to communism as well.
Right.
You know,
and the son of a bitch communist stole my grandpa's farm, his animals. They, you know, when they moved in from the east into Hungary,
Antifa got cranked up in the 30s in Germany, and those punks running around in our country are still flying that same flag today, which was communist.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I wish some people, Robert, from the Eastern European region or with roots, would call in and verify some of this. Because I've been told by my relatives growing up, we're talking over 50 years ago, you know, I've heard this, what was actually going on. And you're not going to read this in the history books.
Well, a lot of people know where their bread's buttered, and they would rather just spout the talking points, and they think that somehow that, you know, they can keep making their money and all that other stuff, and they'd rather do that than look at the kind of, you know, anytime you have an event like that, you got to look at the people that say no. You know, when I was in my 20s, I didn't know that much.
Me neither.
But then I kept getting exposed, and I got to thank Tex Mars. The late, great Tex Mars, he woke me up to a lot of stuff. Like, I got on his mailing list early, probably 1994 or something, Power of Prophecy and all that stuff.
Me too.
And just the books that he offered, and it's like I was along with him as he went through his awakening at a very rapid pace. And then he figured out a lot of things, and just the links on his website when the internet came up. I mean, that was my way into revisionist history, to where you learn people have said, hey, these bastards that so-called won the war, they lied to us about a lion's share of things.
Well, of course, they lied to us about everything, Robert. See, now I heard from my grandparents firsthand. They told me firsthand. They weren't very specific, but it was enough to put the pieces of the puzzle together, you know, because they were grateful to come over to this country in 1952 and start a new life because they lost everything, you know?
Yeah.
And they didn't like to talk about the past, but they would, you know, they would throw it out there, you know, what was really going on. So my hope is that people with Eastern European roots would call in and verify this. Just like, because I'm sure they've heard from their relatives what I have heard. And they should share it with the audience to find out what history really was like. And Robert, I'm sorry to bust in now. By the way, how are you feeling? Are you feeling better?
Oh, yeah. I'm back to relative normal in this world.
Okay, well, I'll be praying for you, my friend. I'll be praying for you, buddy.
All right.
Now, thank you for taking my call, Robert.
All right, man. Thanks. See you. We're coming up on break, but, you know, I was reading an article about this FBI whistleblower, Kyle Serafin, doing a Twitter space with Enrique Tarrio from jail. And somebody in the comments made this point. It's like, how does this guy, how do all these guys do these radio shows, and how do they do this Twitter space thing? So they're going to let this FBI whistleblower interview Enrique Tarrio from jail on a Twitter space, blah, blah, blah. And people, it's kind of like, it does seem weird that some of this is going on. All right, we'll see you guys on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hour coming your way now. Sean in Australia sent me this, and it's called "I Can't Handle the Anti-Semitism This Year: Teacher Support and/or Advice." Now, this is allegedly from a teacher. This could be totally bogus. You just don't know. Teaching the Holocaust this year has been an absolute nightmare. I don't know what happened since COVID, but like half of my eighth grade boys think it's funny to say things I never would have expected to hear from someone their age. Why do they think it's okay? We were watching a scene from Schindler's List when an African-American student loudly blurted out, "Bruh, Hitler was awesome," and the entire class thought that was hysterical. Another student called the movie basically Jewish propaganda because the director Steven Spielberg is Jewish, and another student agreed. I had to stop the film to give a lesson about basic human decency, which a few students resisted. I've heard everything from Hitler looked cool to Jews actually do control everything, and multiple students actually started to debate if the Holocaust even happened. I was dumbfounded. Yesterday, some students were laughing at Hitler quotes and saying they were based or true. I'm terrified for our future. Well, one thing is people got exposed to probably a lot of memes and boom, boom, boom. I mean, there was a ton of stuff floating around out there during COVID about COVID being Jewish operation from top to bottom, so forth and so on. There is some sort of a, you know, people are becoming, people are looking to where the power, you know, stems from. And they're figuring out some things, and, you know, what are you going to do? Now, I wanted to get to this whole thing with the Goyim Defense League of the Blood Tribe and Laura Loomer, okay? Now, this John Minadeo guy, okay? Now, I've got some stuff pulled up here. This dude, you know, he's also known as Handsome Truth, okay? And leader of the Goyim Defense League, and he does the Goyim TV and so forth. From California, he was a rapper, okay? And Shubi Da Wap was his rap. You know, we all know what WAP means, Italian. Shubi Da Wap, okay? So, American Man Whore in 2013 and Hormones in 2015. And that was his name, Shubi Da Wap. Okay, and so then he, I don't know, went on to become this character from the Goyim Defense League and Goyim TV. And, you know, they do all these banner stuff and trolling synagogues and all this. And so he's doing all this now and down in Florida. And now you got these other character from the Blood Tribe, okay? Mr. Christopher Polehouse, also known as Hammer, a former Marine turned tattoo artist, okay? So he was living in San Antonio, Texas, and now he's moved up to Maine, where he's got 10 acres of land and is building an encampment, allegedly, for pro-white type folks and so forth. Now, a lot of people are, you know, the usual kind of mainline conservative websites are saying this is all feds and all the rest of this stuff. Now, you know, like DeSantis, now this is on National File. Florida judicial system allows deep state asset to skip court. Now, I covered this Kent Boneface McClellan a while back. I found an article on Veterans Today, now called VT Foreign Policy, about this kid. He got his face all tatted up, and he's been hanging around with the Azov Battalion, and so they're saying that he skipped his arraignment in Volusia County, Florida, for burglary with assault and battery. And then see, Laura Loomer's involved with all this. She somehow got this footage of these guys doing some rally, which is kind of suspect to me, okay, that this Jewish girl in the Trump kind of sphere ran for Congress and lost down there in Florida, and you know, she gets interviewed, and she's around Gateway Pundit and InfoWars, and she was just on with Owen Schroyer the other day. And so basically Loomer, and they were calling her Laura Joomer, and then when Owen Schroyer's interviewed, he cracked up when she told him that. But Boneface was not in the courtroom. So Governor Ron DeSantis, they're trying to say that he's in on basically this op going on down there in Florida, some sort of racial destabilization op. So you just had the shooting in Jacksonville, and now you have this Blood Tribe GDL stuff going on. And it looks like some, you know, you had the Trayvon Martin thing, which is a huge racial destabilization op. So anyway, he was a no-show at the Dealing Courthouse where he was supposed to be arraigned. And then what's interesting is inside the courtroom, the judge recognized that McClellan was a no-show, and the state prosecutor asked the judge for a pass for McClellan. So a prosecutor asking the judge for a pass, that's kind of interesting. Additionally, two muscular men who looked like feds went into the courtroom to speak to the bailiff before the doors were open to the public. They were overheard saying Kent before the bailiff let them inside the courtroom. The two men who looked like agents left after speaking to the bailiff, and they didn't stay for court. So Loomer got this footage of these guys, and then all of a sudden she's, I guess, claiming that Boneface called her at 1 o'clock in the morning, and all this stuff with him being a domestic terrorist and then recruited by CIA and then going over to Azov in the Ukraine. It's a very murky. And then you had these so-called Ukrainian guys running around at the J6 stuff. It's a real crap show, this whole thing. And it all gives me bad vibes. Okay. Now they're throwing around this video. Mr. Producer, if you could get clip 10 ready. It's only like 14 seconds, but this is allegedly Minadeo basically, let's just say, on some platform called Omegle, okay? And they're claiming that this is the guy creeping on a young half-Asian boy on this video platform. Play that clip 10 real quick.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Oh, my God, you look so cute. I was just saying how cute you were while my mic was muted. What are you doing?
I heard you.
What did you hear me say?
I'm half-Asian.
I know. You're gorgeous. Are you half-Asian? Hi, how are you?
Well, that is allegedly the guy that turned into the leader of this Goyim Defense League. Now, it looks like him. He's got, like, makeup on and some strange stuff. Very, very weird stuff. And he brings people on to this platform and allegedly trolls them, goes off on them, does all kinds of strange stuff. But this got dug up by somebody. I don't know. You know, you got this, you get these people, they get into some sort of trouble. And then just like all of these people, they recruit into becoming patsies. And a lot of these false flag operations, it seems like a lot of the people that get dipped into these quote unquote neo-Nazi circles, also quite possibly could be compromised in some fashion, or you know what I'm saying? And then there's always the useful idiot kind of thing to add in there too. But it's very, very weird, and I get rubbed the wrong way with all of it, okay? Unfortunately, post-Oklahoma City bombing in 95 was really when the militia movement, and John Statmill used to talk about it, got really, really penetrated, infiltrated, and all that. So Brandon Smith on Alt Market had this article, and it's like, Solutions are Scary Parts 1, it's time to bring back citizen militias. And I'm scrolled down to a kind of the middle of the article here. And if there's one solution that's been demonized more than any other in our modern era, it's the citizen militia. It's hard to think of a greater taboo a more sneered at and disdained concept than the militia. And that's on both sides of the political aisle. Many leftists hate the militia because they fear it. Many Republicans hate the militia because they think it makes them look extreme. Sorry, Sunshine Patriots, but if there was ever a time for extreme measures, it's now. Maybe it's a better matter of public conditioning. Militias are the villains in every movie, every TV show, every book and comic book. Articles in every major publication warn year after year of militias as the dark underbelly of American culture, a mode of organization for racists and fascists and most of all terrorists. They're the bad guys, right? Who wants to be seen as a bad guy? Think about Elohim City, and I'm going back to the 90s on this, so some of you that are younger, you might not, and I'm going straight off from memory, but you can brush up on all this stuff. This is years and years in the making, decades. So conservatives and libertarians stumble around trying to come up with ways to organize a physical defense against the encroachment of authoritarianism without actually calling these efforts a militia. It's understandable. The M word has a stigma that was carefully crafted by the media over the course of decades. Say you were starting a neighborhood watch and people listen with an open mind. Say you were starting a militia and people see images of fat rednecks playing Batman in the woods with their butt cracks hanging out. And he says, rednecks are some of my favorite people, by the way. They shut down immediately and they might not even know why. It's because they have been trained to react this way. There's a reason why civilian militias were one of the first constitutional protections dismantled and rearranged by our government. Sadly, starting with giving the president the ability to call on state militias as a means of suppressing domestic rebellion through the 1800s, and slowly erasing militias altogether and replacing them with the modern National Guard through the Dick Act of 1903. The National Guard is now nothing more than another branch of standing military and not a true militia. An armed and most importantly trained civilian population operating outside of federal government oversight is a threat that no oligarchy would ever voluntarily allow. It's the ultimate wrecking ball against government corruption. This is why the Second Amendment has already to some extent been neutered. It has lost one of the two vital parts. Gun rights are still present, but citizen organization is gone. Without both elements, the country will never be truly secure and free. The reason the modern establishment media has been so hostile to the militia concept is because they fear patriot organization more than anything else. They want people isolated from each other, focused only on their own preparedness efforts, but constantly vulnerable due to their limited ability to project defense or offense. If you're alone, your circle of security is your house and your front door. You're doomed. If you're part of a militia, your circle of security is your town or your county or perhaps even your entire state. You now have the chance to survive and stay free. There will be people who will argue that a militia solution is impossible because in order for such groups to be constitutionally legal, they must be approved by the state government they reside in and operate at the whim of the White House. This is only if we were pursuing a constitutional militia. I think that ship sailed a long time ago. If the establishment has no respect for the original intent of the Constitution, then we can no longer play by the same rules as our forebears. We have to organize outside of the lines. Militias need to exist whether they are approved or not. Cooperation at the state or county level should be pursued, but this is dependent on the honor of that particular local government. If they are not cooperative and are not honorable, then citizens will have to organize anyway. I do foresee some red state governors taking action to form militias. I'm not the type of person that thinks every single political leader is controlled. If that were true, then all the red states would have continued the COVID lockdowns and tried to enforce vaccine passports as the blue states did. Instead, they fought back. I'll give credit where credit is due. But you can find the rest of this. This is a pretty long article, and it's on alt-market.us. Mr. Producer, get clip 9 ready. And I wanted to play – well, you know what? I want to dig through some articles first, and if I can get to that clip, I will. There's some good articles about Jesuit Pope Francis that were on Daily Stormer in the last few weeks. Pope Francis says terrible world war waged against the environment, warns of climatic justice. And then anal Pope whines about American Catholics rejecting anal, says morality changes. So, yeah, these guys were talking about, he was talking about how all of a sudden, you know, Catholic dogma, you know, morality changes and all this. And then he's talking about a terrible world war waged against the environment. Well, yeah, there is one, but it's waged by the plutocrats, the oligarchs, trying to destroy the environment in such a fashion as to blame humans for their daily lives and activities. Anti-white lesbian Marxist Library Association chief admits trying to subvert normal family types. Emily Drabinski, extreme left-wing nut who now heads the American Library Association, has been caught on video making rabid anti-white comments and has admitted to wanting to destroy normal family types. Admitted she's a Marxist lesbian. Oh, gosh. It's just a real crap show. Now, U.S. military to use AI to stop disinformation threats on social media. So U.S. Special Operations Command recently awarded a new contract to Acrete, A-C-C-R-E-T-E-A-I, to use artificial intelligence software to detect disinformation threats on social media. Synthetic media, including AI-generated viral narratives, deepfakes, and other harmful social media-based applications of AI, pose a serious threat to national security and civil society. And another, Prashant Bhuyan, founder of CEO of Acrete, said, so another Indian guy. And he's saying that social media is perceived as an unregulated environment that allows U.S. adversaries to routinely exploit reasoning vulnerabilities and manipulate behavior by sharing disinformation online. This is true. Don't get it twisted. They could cause some serious societal destabilization in the very near future with these deep fakes and all this other crap. But at the same time, you've already had a government that has aligned itself against the citizenry and basically declared most of us enemy combatants and all the rest of this. So on one hand, you're telling us, yeah, we got these hostile countries. They're going to be doing all this stuff to us, so we got to keep you guys safe. But at the second, on the other hand, you just torched Lahaina with directed energy weapons, microwaves, and everything else. And how many other operations did you run? Now we know that the 9/11 operation was basically controlled at the top by Jewish mafia. Just watch Missing Links documentary and you'll see that. But there was a whole lot of military assets that had to be deployed to make this thing go. And so those same assets, a lot of them are still in place. Names change, but treason doesn't. People can be bought off. And this one's floating around. I mean, Biden administration mulls ankle monitors for illegal aliens to keep them from leaving Texas. So now the Democrats are feeling the heat from a lot of their own buddies, like in New York City and other places, Chicago. So now they just want to put all these people, let them across the border and let them squat in Texas. What do you think is going to happen to Texas, folks? One of the real buttresses. Now, Abbott, I don't give two craps about Franklin Delano Roosevelt 2.0 running around in his wheelchair. But the people of Texas, they want to decimate Texas. There's too many people resistant. So Elon Musk reveals extremely powerful ADL CEO sought to shake him down for donations. ADL's now fundraising off this scandal. Under pressure, McCarthy indicates he might finally make good on J6 footage promises. Supposedly he's going to begin the release of the footage that's been requested by journalists and J6 defendants, with additional hours of footage being published to a public access archive over the course of time. You think they're going to really let go a lot of that stuff, which is going to implicate an internal false flag, honey trap plot with all these feds running around and fed assets that set this whole damn thing up? And now they're just locking all these people up. You know, the whole Liberty Safe thing. They're going to raid this guy's house. What, 2.5 years later, and they give the feds a combination of the guy's safe and all this stuff, and he's just standing outside the Capitol. Up on Sorchafal, Americans surrounded by socialist revolutionaries warn there's no place to hide. You know, you had the Obama, well, you had the Larry Sinclair Tucker interview, which, you know, those of us have been around in the game, it wasn't nothing new. We didn't hear. We heard the same stuff from Larry Sinclair back in, what, 07, 08-ish, right when Obama jumps in the game. While the lying leftist American fake news media concocts fairy tales, top Australian journalist and Sky News host James Morrow shockingly revealed on Friday the whispers have been growing that former U.S. President Barack Obama is the one really pulling the strings in the White House. Observers have noticed for some time the former president has been acting behind the scenes like a bit of a string puller. Well, duh. How many of us has been saying that this whole time? Okay. And then the whole thing with New Mexico, this Michelle Grisham, the governor, who Obama appointed to be chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, signing an emergency order to suspend all Second Amendment gun rights and disarm citizens, blah, blah, blah. So, Gun Owners of America, National Association for Gun Rights, both of which I belong to, they're going to sue her. She knows it. But this is... this is beta testing. This is foreshadowing. We're seeing it. All right, folks. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. A lot of things coming down the pike. Take care.
Taking all my precious air to breathe. Outside the weather's storming, with the raindrops freezing on my face. I'm waiting for my baby, who slipped out from the arms of grace. And I'm feeding the fire, and it's burning me inside. And I'm feeding the fire, and it's burning me alive. And I'm feeding the fire, oh, giving me the light to sing.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.